And welcome back in to Morning Drive on a Monday edition. Robbie Stanley in for Braden Gall today alongside Derek Mason and Marquise Munson, talking Titans and Patriots. And who better to talk Titans and Patriots than our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. We bring Corey to the microphone now. Corey, how are you?
I am fabulous. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. Corey, what did you make of kind of the dominance that Derrick Henry was able to sustain all game long against the Patriots in their big win on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it was really impressive from the aspect that the Titans knew they wanted to run the ball. The Patriots knew they wanted to run the ball. And Bill Belichick is so good at taking away what people want to do, and he couldn't do it. And Derrick was very good, but also, I mean, the offensive line was getting a surge and giving him gaps. You know, this is an offensive line that couldn't get out of its own way, you know, to start the season. And, you know, to see the way they did it, especially that two-minute drive to finish the half, it was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. The Tennessee Titans were able to do something that I don't think many people were able to do consistently against the New England Patriots, and that was run the football, and not just run the football effectively. Give your assessment of because everyone's looking at Derrick Henry, and rightfully so. He had over 180 yards and broke Eddie George's playoff record. But the offensive line, again, they had, I think, one penalty in the game, and it was a holding call, I believe. But this offensive line did exactly what we thought they could do but were not doing the first half of the season.
Well, it's kind of a mystery. And, you know, you just have to look at where it was to start the year, and that was Taylor Lewan suspended for 4 weeks and Nate Davis hurt. And, you know, Roger Saffold really struggled to start the year. You know, Jameel Douglas obviously really struggled at points to start the year. And then Nate Davis gets in there as a rookie, and it takes him a few weeks. Lewan and Saffold get in there together, and it takes him a few weeks. You know, Taylor had a ton of penalties. He had some games that weren't the best. You know, Saffold really struggled in pass protection. So I think getting the five together took a month or two. And then I think also making the decision that they were going to be a running team, because, you know, we all credit Ryan Tannehill, and we all should. He's been great. But when they switched to Tannehill, they also decided to be a running football team. Because when the season started, they were still trying to spread the ball out. They were throwing 900 screen passes a game. And, you know, they weren't running the ball with conviction. You know, that time when Mariota was still the quarterback, they had one 100-yard rushing game. And that was 100 on the button against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, Tannehill has been the beneficiary of a team that has been massively successful running the football. And I think the first 8 weeks of the season, they led the league in negative runs, and that wasn't because of Derrick Henry. You know, the offensive line is doing what it was built to do, and that's you know, ram the ball down people's throats. You know, Roger Saffold was brought in at $11 million a year, and that contract looked terrible to start the year. It's looking a lot better now, but, you know, Roger Saffold's known for something, and it's not pass protection. He's known for run blocking. And you saw in that game, you know, them running behind Saffold and Lewan a lot.
Corey, what do you think this win does for the Titans in terms of how they're viewed league-wide?
You know, it's an interesting question, Robbie, because they won that playoff game 2 years ago. And, you know, when they came back the next season, they were a popular pick, you know, to do well. And they went 9-7, but they missed the playoffs. But I think beating the Patriots for them is a lot different than beating the Chiefs in their league-wide perception for two reasons. Number one, they're the Patriots, and they've been to the AFC Championship every year since, like, 2010, and they're not this year. People were sick of seeing them. People have their feelings about them because of the way they conducted business. And, frankly, there were a lot of people rooting for the Titans to win this football game. So I think there are a lot of people very happy with the Tennessee Titans for winning this football game. But, you know, there's a great man out there who once said, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And the Titans beat the man. And when you beat the man, you get a lot of credibility. And I think, and I just think there's a lot that goes with that.
We'll talk with Cord Curtis News, too. He was up in Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, this weekend as the Titans defeated the New England Patriots 20-13. Looking at what they were able to do, they're still, you know, there's still this, can the Titans continue to do what they're doing on offense from a run standpoint and win? Because after the third, after the fourth quarter turnover interception, I know everyone, even I included, said, oh, here we go again. Unnecessary turnover. New England's going to go down and score, and that's going to be the game. Obviously, it didn't happen. But can they – does Ryan Tannehill needs to play better in order for this team to continue to move forward?
Oh, he's got to play a lot better than he did in that game. I mean, he threw for 72 yards. If Marcus Mariota had turned in that performance, he'd be crucified everyone. Absolutely crucified. Ryan Tannehill did make two big throws in that football game, one critical one late that helped win the football game. So, you know, he did the things it took to win the game. But he also put the ball on the ground twice, and they were just fortunate enough to recover them. So he could have had three turnovers in this football game. He was lucky to get out of it with one, and the defense bailed him out. You know, and like I said, the Patriots are good at taking away some of your best stuff. You know, they took away A.J. Brown in this game. He had one catch for 4 yards. Corey Davis didn't have a catch in this football game. So Tannehill needs to be better. Those guys have got to find a way to create some space and give them some places to throw with the football because they're not going to beat the Ravens throwing for 81 yards or whatever their final number was in the football game. As good as their defense was, I do not expect them to hold the number one offense in the NFL to 13 points. They're going to have to score, in my estimation, at least 28 points to win this football game. And Ryan Tannehill is going to have to be a heck of a lot better than he was in this last game. Now, he's been very good most of the year, so you look at that game as the anomaly. But he's got to bounce back in a big way.
Corey, obviously a big talking point nationally in the last couple of days since the Titans beat the Patriots is the future of Tom Brady and his time with the Patriots. How realistic do you think it is that Tom Brady isn't with New England next season?
You know, I think it's realistic because, you know, it's a little weird that his house is for sale and his trainer's house is for sale. And when you just listen to how he talks about the situation, it doesn't sound like he's coming back. Now, there's got to – I hate to say that there's got to be somebody who wants him because he's Tom Brady, but you're still asking an NFL team to bank their future on a guy who's going to be 43 years old next year. And he can be TB12 and be a freak of nature and everything – but Father Time gets everybody. He gets everybody. And, you know, if you're going to sign him, you're not going to get him for $6 million a year. You're going to have to pay him $30, $35 million a year. So he's got to find somebody who he's never played for before that's going to pay him $35 million a year. And I'm sure somebody's going to pop up who's going to do that. I'm sure he's got a plan. To me, it doesn't feel like he's coming back. I guess I'll put it at 50-50 because I'll believe it when I see it. But just the whole vibe of the thing is very weird.
Yeah, Cordy, you're absolutely right. I think he stays in New England because I don't think there are going to be any suitors to pay him what he wants, which we know the going rate for quarterbacks anywhere from 25 to 35 million, and Tom's going to command the higher end. I don't think anyone's going to pay him that much money. He's going to stay in New England. Quickly, before we let you go, Jayon Brown, He went out. It seemed like a very, it seemed like a bad injury because you see the tears coming out of his eyes. I don't think he walked out of the locker room with a brace or anything. But how much of a blow is that to them if he cannot play against Baltimore?
Well, last I looked, Lamar Jackson was pretty fast, and he rushed for 1,200 yards this year. I think they need him to chase that dude around. You know, not, you know, because Rashawn Evans has got a big day too. But, you know, one of the great things about Jayon Brown is the guy can run. And I would like to have him on the field against Lamar Jackson and company. And also, you've got a rookie taking up a lot of his snaps. And, you know, we think David Long's played pretty well, but he's not Jayon Brown. And I think you're right, Mason. I think that's a considerable loss for this team. I didn't see – I saw him coming out of the locker room, and I didn't see with a sling, but I can tell you this. He had a coat on, and his arm wasn't in the sleeve.
So you can't confirm nor deny if you had a sling.
Yeah, when your arm's not in the sleeve, it's not a good sign.
Exactly.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time to come on with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks, Mace, for coming on News 2 after the game on Saturday night. Big starring role on television.
Man,
I appreciate having you.
I appreciate being on. I had a ball the other night with Emily and Kayla, so it was great.
We had a long post game and a fun post game when you talk about a win.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Corey. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
When we come back, Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill just beat Tom Brady and Drew Brees in the playoff. What in the world is going on
in
the National Football League? We'll talk about that next. But first, D-Mace, you've got a word from Cool Springs Heating and Cooling.
Absolutely, Cool Springs, MD. Listen, man, I've been telling you this. It's the new year, and everybody have these new year resolutions. We call them new year intentions on this show. You intend to do something. You don't set yourself up for failure. Because when you have resolutions, you set yourself up for failure, and you just the whole thing goes kaput. You know, what we do here is intentions. So intend on going to see good folks at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, Maureen has started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with the experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Listen, Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas, even Franklin, which I live in, with improving their immune systems, energy level, cognitive functions, and more. The flu season is in full effect, so man, go see Cool Springs MD. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthier lifestyle. What are you waiting on, man? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make an appointment. 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
And welcome back in to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Derek Mason and Marquise Munson back there spinning the hits. So, D-Mace, we're living in a weird time right now, especially in the NFL. We're coming off a weekend of football where Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill just beat Drew Brees and Tom Brady. What in the world is going on in the NFL right now?
Are we living in this alternative world?
Yeah. Like
where, you know, what used to happen doesn't happen anymore, or, you know, Tom Brady's bad, Drew Brees bad, and Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins are good.
Just lighting
you
it
know,
up.
They're the best quarterbacks in the league, and those two guys aren't.
Get those old guys exactly. out of here. It's a new day in the NFL.
You know, it's a sign of and even though I picked Minnesota to win the game, I didn't expect, you know, Drew Brees to play the way that he did. And, you know, he barely threw over 200 yards in that game. He threw a lot of passes. He had 33 passes, but barely over 200 yards. And then you look at Tom Brady, what he did, he had barely over 200 yards in that game. When you're watching it, you expected that somewhat from New England and Tom because of the way they had been playing
right.
leading up to the game. But you didn't expect that from Drew Brees, because, you know, this team put up 30-some points on the Titans, and, you know, he was throwing the ball around the yard. The year, week before that, I think he set the record for pass completions in a game or quarterback rating in a game. I think he missed one pass, I think, in that game.
It was unbelievable.
And then the last game of the season, he played well. So you didn't expect that from Drew Brees. But that just shows you that, you know, one, it's a week-to-week game in this league. And two, these guys are getting a little bit older. And as the season gets longer, you can't – it's hard to bring it every week when you're 44, 43, 42 years old as a quarterback. As smart as these two guys are, they don't have the zip that they have anymore. And people game plan for that. New Orleans have a couple more weapons than New England. But even with all of that, I don't think any of the, you know, true experts thought that these two quarterbacks would play the way that they did. Maybe they play good and still lose, but these two quarterbacks played bad in their team's loss.
What does this mean for Kirk Cousins? Because, I mean, the knock on Kirk Cousins, even in Washington and now especially in Minnesota, is, yeah, he's okay and he'll put up some good numbers, but he can't win the big game. There's a stat on Monday Night Football where I think he's like 0-10 or 0-12, something like that, all time on Monday Night Football. To go into New Orleans and win in that environment and not only play as well as he did, I think he was 19 of 31 for 242 and a touchdown, but to make the timely throws that he did, the important throws, what can this game do for Kirk Cousins as the Vikings move forward?
I think it does for Kirk Cousins what it sort of does for Ryan Tannehill. It gives them a little bit, even though Ryan Tannehill didn't play well, they end up winning. But it gives them more confidence as they move on. I think for Kirk Cousins, it now gets that monkey off his back. Now I've won a playoff game. Now I did something that I haven't done. Even Ryan Tannehill, that was his first playoff game as a starter. He won his first playoff game, gets that monkey off of his back. But they did it in two different ways. Obviously, the Titans did it because of the running of Derrick Henry, and then Minnesota did it from the arm and and Dalvin Cook running it. But the big plays at the end were made by the quarterback. I think these two guys are Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins. They're out to prove something because the narrative has been written sort of on both of them. They're inconsistent. Yeah, one puts up a lot of numbers, but when it comes down to it, he doesn't show up. The other is just injury prone, and the other team got rid of him. They paid to get rid of him. So, you know, the Titans can't win with a quarterback like that. Well, both of them are starting to rewrite the narrative of their career. Both of them first starting in the playoffs. Both of them get a win, albeit differently, but both of them get a win. One plays better than the other. But a win is a win, and it gives you that added motivation. It gives you that confidence that, okay, we can win another. And if I do just a little bit more, we can win another.
You mentioned his first playoff start, and everybody talks about all the time the difference between playing in the regular season and playing in the playoffs. And I know in hockey, it's very tangible. The speed is different. The intensity is different. For the NFL player, what's it like the first time you step foot in a playoff game? What are the main differences that you've noticed throughout the course of your career?
I think the most important thing is the attention to detail. This is the difference. This is why, I mean, I love basketball. I like hockey, and I'm getting used to hockey more and more. And I love our team here. But this is the great thing about the NFL and college basketball in a tournament. There's no, well, we can do it better in the next game.
Right.
There's no 7-game series or 5-game series. It's, if we don't get it right now, we're going to be watching the next week. And that right there, that alone, when you enter into the playoffs in the NFL, it's, listen, we spend so much time in meeting rooms during the playoffs because it's not about how much we practice. It's about knowing what to do. How well have you scouted your opponent? Because once we get in the playoff, they typically scale down practice a little bit.
Yeah.
because you want to be as fresh as possible, especially if you don't have a first-round bye. You try to scale down practice just a tad bit, not much, but just a tad bit. You try to condense it. You try to get all that you can get in a certain amount of time. You want to be efficient when you're on the field. You want to do all your work in the classroom. All the mental work is done. You put in that extra mental work. So it's meetings, it's watching film before practice. After practice, it's meeting, watching films. In between lunch, it's meeting, watching film. So you're trying to get, it's not that you're getting extra time on the field, you're getting that extra time in the meeting room. Because if I can get an advantage over you mentally, that's how I'm going to win. A one and done series. Basically, that's what it is. So from that standpoint, it heightens. And then the speed is going to be the speed, man. The NFL, if you've ever been on the sideline of an NFL game, it's much different than the stands.
Oh, yeah.
You see everything a lot. Things come at you a lot faster. It's like in 3D just coming at you. That's always going to be there. I think it's the mental aspect and the attention to detail, crossing every T, dotting every I. You don't want to leave a game saying, man, we should have did that.
Yeah.
Or we had a chance to do that. You can do that in the regular season because you can come back and, you know, play somebody else.
Sure.
Can't do it in the playoffs.
We've talked about Ryan Tannehill and the game that he had. Obviously, wasn't his best. Wasn't asked to do a whole lot. Probably going to be asked to do a lot more against the Baltimore Ravens this Saturday. What does Tannehill need to do for you to give the Titans a chance to win this game when you take a look at the aggressiveness that you talked about earlier? That the Ravens defense plays with?
Well, he's going to have to be precise in what he does. He has to be efficient. I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill needs to throw the ball 30 times because he doesn't. If he throws the ball 30 times, they're losing. I'm telling you that. He throw the ball 30 times, either they are losing or they will lose.
Right.
Because that's just not the Titans. You go back and you look at them. When they've had to throw the ball that many times, they've had to come back and win games, or they've come back, tried to come back and lose games. So they can't win this, you know, hey, here, Ryan, here's a football, go play. No, that's not how they play. But he needs to be efficient. He needs to be more efficient. He needs to take control. Even though, to me, this is Derrick Henry's team, he needs to take more control of the receivers and making sure those guys get separation, because it's not only on Ryan, it's on those guys on the outside. They got to get separation. They got to get away from the defensive backs. I don't think they did that this past game. They're going to have to do it against the Ravens, because the Ravens are not going to allow you. They're not going to. They're a tougher team than New England. They're a better defensive front, I believe, than New England. Their defensive coordinator is a little bit better, I believe. This year, this team will, like I said, they will bring blitzes from everywhere. You look at what Philadelphia did. Even though they lost that game, they made it hard for Wilson.
Yeah.
They made it hard for him. You know why? Not because they're a good defense, a great defense, but they designed things to get guys free in that defense. And that's what the Baltimore Ravens do. And then they got three lockdown corners, man. They don't have two. They got three. So if the Titans didn't get open this past weekend, it's gonna
I
don't
know
how in the hell they're going to get there. But this is another opportunity for Brown to show that I am becoming the man, because he didn't show it this week.
Yeah,
this is another opportunity, because he goes against the top-notch secondary. It's another opportunity for him to show that I'm the big man on the block. I can handle it.
And I think this is a big week for Arthur Smith, because you know, Corey talked about it in the interview last segment. They're going to need to score points this game.
Yeah.
Baltimore is going to put up points. They're scoring 30 points a game. You're going to need 25, 28, 31 points to win this game if you're the Titans. So the onus is on Arthur Smith and that coaching staff to scheme up some things to help your quarterback and your receivers try to do a little bit better and be a little bit more efficient in the passing game. So we'll see how Arthur Smith and the Titans coaching staff are able to adjust to that. When we come back, what does this loss say about the New England Patriots and their dynasty? Is it officially dead? Derek Mason and I will discuss that next, coming up here on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady talking about his future with the team, or maybe not his future with the New England Patriots. Titans with a big win against the Patriots to move ahead in the playoffs this past Saturday. And it brings up the question, D-Mace, we've had this conversation before about the Patriots, and is this it? Is this the end of the dynasty? Obviously, six Super Bowl wins since 2001, nine Super Bowl appearances during that span, in the AFC Championship game practically every year. But it feels different this time around because Tom Brady will be 43 years old next year, and he's a free agent this offseason. And the more you talk around the league and the more you hear people kind of discuss Tom Brady's future, the growing sentiment is I think there's a realistic chance that he may leave. Not saying that he will, but I think there's it's worth talking about the chance that he might leave. Is this the end of the Patriots dynasty as we know it?
No. And
we've made that mistake before.
I don't understand why people believe this is the end of their dynasty. Bill Belichick ain't going nowhere. Now, Tom might leave. He might not. But Bill ain't going anywhere. This team, if you look at them, they just need more players. They need more offensive players.
Yeah.
Whether Tom's a quarterback or not. You got to remember, there are going to be a few quarterbacks on the as free agents. One of them is here.
Yeah.
And Marcus Mariota. And best believe, Bill Belichick will be the first one knocking on Marcus's door to bring him, to take him to Gillette Stadium. Because I don't think they believe Stidham is the answer. And you still have a quarterback he's good, and maybe under Bill Belichick's tutelage, he's even better.
Right.
He can throw the football. He doesn't have a cannon of an arm, but he's efficient and he's accurate with short passes. And that's their offense.
Sure.
Short passes, 12-yard pass.
That's all accurate. I did the other day.
Throwing it to the tight ends. This dynasty is not over. And I know it's going to be a talking point for everybody. The Patriots dynasty is over with. The Titans beat them. Yes, the Titans beat them. But this dynasty, this team is not done. They're just going to regroup. Just when we thought New England was done, they regroup and they do it again. And what better year to do it than next year when there are enough quarterbacks that are going to be free agents that they can go out and get that are proven quarterbacks in this league. Now, if this was a situation where none of these quarterbacks would be free agents, because Drew Brees is possibly a free agent, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Marcus Mariota, even Ryan Tannehill, all of these guys, Ryan can opt to say, you know what? I want to go to New England.
Yeah.
All of this is true. I don't think it happened, but there are enough quarterbacks on as free agents this year that New England, as long as they retool their offense, they will be fine. Their offensive line is good. They're healthy. They're good. Sony Michel's there. They're going to add another running back. They just need other guys on the offense, skill guys. Don't make the mistake and say, oh, it's over. It's a wrap. We thought that once about another guy, Nick Saban.
Yep.
What happened? He won another championship. So don't sweep them under the rug just too fast.
They really missed Gronk this year. I mean, in a huge way. And I know the last few years of his career, he was dealing with injuries all the time, and ultimately that's what led to his retirement. But he was a guy that if you were a defense and you were going up against the Patriots, you had to account for him, and you had to really game plan around him. And they just didn't have that guy this year. Edelman is a good receiver. He's a great receiver. You know, he's put up a lot of numbers, especially in the postseason, where he's had some really memorable runs in the Super Bowl. But when it's just Julian Edelman and nobody else, it makes life difficult for Tom Brady. So I'm interested to see if Brady does come back, which I agree with you. I think Brady is going to end up back in New England. What do the Patriots do this offseason to help this offense? Because what stood out to me the other night from the broadcast, just watching the game, and Tony Romo talked about this as well, he was making the throws. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of times there was no separation, or you know, maybe they were just a tick off in the timing of their routes, stuff like that. But I think it's not like Tom Brady – you're out there watching, you know, Peyton Manning in his last year, where it just looked like every throw was so difficult to make just because of the wear and tear on his body. It looked like Brady can still make the throws.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything that showed me that Tom was done. I didn't. As much as I probably don't like him because he's a Michigan guy, I respect the hell out of his game.
Yeah.
and he's not in the same boat that Peyton Manning was in. Peyton was done. His arm was shot. He was done, and we know why his arm was shot. He did it that last year on his defense and his wit as a quarterback. Tom's not there. He's not what he was, but he's not to the point where he can't deliver the ball. He threw the ball, 40-some yards down the field on a post route that got broken up, by a hair Saturday. So Tom still has it. They miss Gronk more so in getting back to Gronk and what they need. He misses Gronk in the red zone. That's where he misses Gronk the most, in the red zone, because he had a big body guy that was unguardable. They could just throw it to that would go up and get the ball. He missed that. He didn't have it. He don't have it this year. They need that. If they can get that again, and if N'Keal Harry comes around, if Sanu's on the team next year, he knows the offense better. This team, they will draft some guys. And hopefully, and they will get some veteran guys. They're going to bring some other veterans. Don't be surprised if Antonio Brown's back in New England.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But they're going to retool this team because there are enough free agents, wide receivers that are out there. There are enough coming in from college and tight ends. They're going to be fine. It's, okay, if Tom Brady comes back, this team's okay. Even if he doesn't come back, I think they're still okay. But they're not just dead and gone. This team is not like on their last breath. They're not as good as they were, but they still got a good defense. Their offense, Tom doesn't, he can still throw the football. He's not a lame duck out there throwing 5-yarders. Tom can still throw the football. They just need people to catch it. Again, it goes back to, you know, what did his wife say some years ago? Tom can't throw and catch at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Just can't do it. It was funny then, but she was right.
Yeah.
Here, he can't throw the ball and then run and catch it. He puts the ball where he needs to put it. You got to go get it. Edelman drops a second and six.
Which you hardly ever see from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a sure catch. It continues to drive. Nothing showed me that Tom was through. Nothing showed me. Now, again, does he have the same arm? No. But nothing told me that he goes back to New England, they get him some weapons, that he's done. That's what you hope doesn't happen, is they find him some weapons. Because if they find him some weapons, they will be a 12-4, 13-3 team again.
Well, and the other part of it that I think didn't go the way they thought it would, Sony Michel looked like a shell of himself this year. And at the end of the last year when they won the Super Bowl, a lot of people forget he was playing great in the playoffs a year ago. They were able to run the ball. They were able to play action pass. And for the large majority of this year, they could not run the ball. You had James White coming out of the backfield, and Brady hits him with the short passes. I think he was their leading receiver the other day against the Titans. But they had no semblance of a running game this year. And until they get that, you really need that with all offenses, but especially when your quarterback is 42 years old. You got to have a running game.
Yeah, see, in the narrative of him going to another team, that one team is going to have the defense that the Pats have this year.
Yeah.
That one team is going to have the weapons that he didn't have this year. So that's going to be the biggest question for him is, do I stay here? I already got the defense set. Look, all we need is a couple more pieces. Maybe a wide receiver. Maybe a guy like Henry Ruggs out of Alabama. Maybe another running back. You know, one of those guys from Georgia, maybe I should get one of those. And we can build on what we already have. Or you're going to another team, they may not have the same defense this team has. They may have a good weapon, but that's probably it. No offensive line, maybe. And so now you have to balance out the negatives that you missed out on the Patriots, which the only thing they need is some weapons. That's it. And those are easy to come by.
Yeah, that's – you got to weigh it. Again, I don't think nobody's going to pay Tom the money that he probably is going to want because he's 41, 42 years old.
Yeah.
Nobody's just going to pay him that much money to come to their team because you have to be a team that is one guy away, a quarterback away. Everything else around you is set. Offense, defense, running game. Weapons. You just need a quarterback. Well, are there many teams out there like
that?
Not many.
Maybe the Chargers, maybe.
But the Chargers are not going to go from Phillip Rivers
to another 40-year-old quarterback.
Another 40-year-old. Yeah. And here's what people don't realize. Who's going to run? When Peyton Manning left, he took that offense with him to Denver.
Yeah.
That offense he was running, he was familiar. He took it to Denver. can Tom take that offense anywhere he goes? Or will the head coach put aside his ego and say, you know what, we're going to learn a whole new offense for a year or two? I don't think they are going to do that. I don't think no one's going to do that. And no one's going to pay him $30-something million to be their quarterback for 1 or 2 years and not be guaranteed a Super Bowl.
And he's not going to go wherever Josh McDaniels
exactly.
goes.
Exactly. He's not going wherever
Josh
goes.
Because, I mean, just imagine Josh McDaniels, and I know this would be – this is ideal fantasy booking 101 here of him going to, like, the Cowboys or something. That's not going to happen.
They already got their quarterback.
They already got their quarterback. They're going to re-sign Dak, and then that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm pretty sure Belichick would love to make that trade. You give me a young Dak. You can have Tom Brady, as good as Tom Brady is or has been. Here, you take time. I will take Dak at 20-some years old. And we'll continue to win games. And now I have another dimension that I didn't have, a quarterback that's mobile, that can move.
That's right.
So there you go.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what becomes of the Patriots, what Tom Brady decides to do this offseason. When we come back, the Preds had a road trip over the weekend. Mixed results in L.A. in Southern California. We'll talk about that next. But first, D-Mace, you've got a word from USS.
Absolutely. United Structural System. It's a foundation and repair and waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. So people, if you have the older homes, even sometimes a newer home, and there are things that are going on within your home, you can call on United Structural Systems because they will repair your foundation. I mean, if your chimneys, you know, leaning a little bit, you got some cracks in a foundation, your windows, if you're having problems with your windows, you know, or whatnot, because we do, because in wintertime, it seems like a lot of these problems that we have are exposed, and then a lot of it has to do with the weather, then call, you know, United Structural Service. They have satisfied over 18,000, that's a lot of people, over 18,000 residential customers. Here's a few of their highlights. Their quality is great, so you can check that off when you're looking for a company. Their reputation is wonderful, so you can check that off. Expertise, integrity, and they have these huge selling points, man. And then they'll come to your house and they give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, which is very important, so they're not one of these chain joints running around. They're locally owned. Again, they've served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994, and most important, they are licensed and insured. So when you want some things done to your house, you want your structure, the foundation, the chimney, the creaks and the leaks in your house fixed, then call United Structural Systems, because here's the thing. They guarantee their best. So what you need to do is call USS. And you do that by calling this number, 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275, or go online at USSTN.com.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley in for Braden Gall today alongside Derek Mason and Marquise Munson. D. Mace is over here losing his mind watching the TV right now.
Robbie.
Wait.
The freaking Miami Dolphins, Dan Orlovsky says, they have nothing. And I mean nothing, like Whitney Houston say. They have nothing, and I mean nothing.
ESPN is talking about and predicting where Tom Brady's going to play next year.
And you
year.
Think he's going to Miami?
Dan Orlovsky thinks he's going to the Miami Dolphins.
What's crazy about that is during the break, I said, yeah, Dan's probably the most logical person on that panel. Yeah. And he chooses the most idiotic one out of the bunch. So,
Because they got a Patriot guy. Because they got a Patriot guy as the head coach. But
then he's coming to the Titans then.
Hey, Robbie, I know we were supposed to go somewhere else with this conversation. But as we do it, Rex is the only sane person up there. Rex Ryan, Rex of all people. No, but I like Rex. I just don't. Excuse me, Rob, but we do this. We kind of have
That's
these.
Okay.
We get off the rails a little bit every once in a while. But people, just because Tom Brady, listen to me, just because Tom Brady's selling his house, and you know this is the last year of his contract, doesn't mean Tom Brady's leaving New England. His house probably costs $24, $25, $27 million. How many damn people can afford a $27 million house? Tell me that.
The list is very small, my friend.
Very small. Maybe Robbie can get it, But I don't think Robbie wants to move there.
No, I'm not going to Massachusetts.
I think they like it here. But how many people you think can buy a $27, $28 million house? Not many. If that is the case, smart people say, you know what? I'm 40-something years old. I'm maybe going to play a couple more years. I really don't want to stay here in Massachusetts. I want to be somewhere where it's warm. So I need to put my house on the market now because it's going to take a while to sell it. So I put it on my market now. Everybody put their house on the market, even my trainer, because once I go, he's going too, because I got this whole TB, you know, brand.
It's a brand.
Yeah. So I'm going to put my house on the market. It's going to take it a while to sell. If it sells quickly, I just rent a place. It's easy. Just rent a place. No problem. If it doesn't, then I just stay in the house. But by no means does him putting his house on the market means he's leaving. I put my house on the market 2 years before I left Baltimore. Okay. That didn't mean I didn't think I was. I mean, I knew I would be retiring, you know, within 2 or 3 years, but I didn't think I was going to be leaving Baltimore.
You didn't immediately want to leave?
Yeah, I didn't immediately want to go. I didn't want to go. It was like, okay, I got to be smart about this. It's going to take a minute to sell this house, which it did. It took a year.
You mean it's hard to sell a house in Baltimore?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It took a year to sell, and I was able to rent something afterwards. So, people, use your brain. Media heads, use your brain. Is a 20-something million dollar house, probably more than that. How many people can buy those houses? Not many.
Not very many.
So put it on the market now. His wife was like, man, we need to put this house on the market now because it's going to be hard to sell.
Quickly, your thoughts on Tom Brady to the Miami Dolphins?
That's asinine.
Wow. I didn't think it was going to be any worse than the Chargers, because why would you get, you know what I'm going to replace an old quarterback with? An even older quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to go replace an older. No, that's not going to happen. But the Dolphins, I never heard that.
I got to say, that's a new one.
I think that was the first one.
That's the first time
I've ever heard that one. Okay. I think he's going to Alabama. Matter of fact, he's replacing Tua.
Yeah.
He's
you know, no, that's you what know what? No, no, no. Today. You know what he's doing? He sold his house. He's going back to Michigan. He's going to play for the Wolverines. Yeah. He got one more year left.
He's saving Jim Harbaugh's job, baby.
He has one more year left. He's going back to Michigan.
He's going
to
be a grad student like Van Wilder.
And they're still going to lose to Ohio State. They just write it down right now.
Oh, that's bad. People, he's not. I would be surprised if he leaves New England. Just because he's selling his house, that doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean anything. When you have a house at that price point, you got to think ahead. I'm only playing 2 more years probably. I don't want to stay here.
Right.
So I'm going to put a house on the market because it's going to take probably about 2 years to sell. So I might as well do it now and not have to deal with the headache of having this house, you know, retire, then have to sell it. So sell it now. I don't understand why people don't just see the blatant thing, the logic in that. It's staring right at your face. It's like people see it, but they want to look around. Wow. That can't be the reason. Look around, and then it comes back to it. Oh, that was the reason.
Well, let me just say, this is the Monday after he was eliminated from the playoffs. This is going to go on all offseason long until this decision is made. So if you're listening right now and you're watching TV this morning, getting ready to go to work, and you're tired of the Tom Brady talk and where he's going to go, get used to it, because it's going to be all over ESPN the next few months until Tom Brady makes a decision to either return to New England or move on elsewhere with his career. So it's going to be something that is a very hot button issue.
Yeah, breaking news, people. Mm-hmm. No one wants to just like live in Boston for the rest
of
their
lives.
Not everybody wants to live in Boston for the rest of their lives.
It's too damn cold.
It's very cold, especially from a California kid like Tom Brady is. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this Tom Brady musical chairs that's being played as we move forward here. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of Preds talk, a mixed bag result of a weekend for the Nashville Predators, including a shootout loss last night to the Anaheim Ducks. We'll talk about it coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com.